Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. If you brought your Bibles with you, I want to congratulate you. Can I see your Bibles? All of you who have them, congratulations. I brought several of mine. I've got my Hebrew English Bible. You can get one of these in the bookstore. And I brought my digital Bible, including the Tanakh, the Holy Torah of God. Paul has his iPad Bible. And if you came equipped, congratulations. If not, sit next to someone who does have a Bible. Well, last week, we read about God's promise to Abraham and to Sarah that they would have a son of the covenant. What was his name in Hebrew? Yitzchak. And in English, how would you say that? Isaac. And when Sarah heard God promise, what was her response? She laughed. That's right. In fact, Isaac's name is derived from a word for laughter. Her first thought, it seems, was that it was laughable. It was impossible for her to have a child because she was so old. Her body was already past the age of childbearing. In other words, because it was impossible for her, it was impossible. That was her first thought. And this actually provoked the Lord to say something to her. He said, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" He knew it was too difficult for her. But the question was, is anything too difficult for God? And the Lord said, "At the appointed time, I will return to you about this same time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Now, to Abraham and Sarah's credit, even though they were initially shocked or surprised about this promise that in their old days they were going to have a child and that it was concretely going to be within that next year, they actually did believe God. And that is a little bit different from believing in God, because many people can believe in God, but God is sort of out there and he's like an idea or he's a theological or religious concept to them. But they actually believed God, which means they believed what God said, they believed what he intended to do, and they believed what would happen as a result, and they persevered in their faith, believing God, as we read about this week in the Torah portion, that God would give them the land that he had promised, even though, as we're reading in the scriptures this week, we find they don't have any land. And when Sarah dies, Abraham has to pay an exorbitant price to actually have a place to bury his beloved wife. And it could be said, how is this a fulfillment of God's promise? But Abraham considered even that to be a fulfillment. They also believed that God would multiply the descendants of Abraham and Sarah through Isaac. And that meant that Isaac would need to have a wife who would fulfill his calling as well and preserve and pass on the covenant. Well, this kind of faith is presented to us as a model, and that's why Paul pointed to this portion of the Torah, last week's portion and this week, when he wrote about faith to some Italian believers. So when you look in your Bible, you should see if you can find that part which is addressed to Italians. All you Italians, we thank you for helping us fill up the Bible. What would be the first book that's directed specifically to Italians? Romans, that's right. So turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4, starting in verse 18. Paul is reflecting on all that we are reading about in the Torah last week and this week. And he says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." without weakening in his faith. Isn't that interesting? Without weakening in his faith. Say that with me. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Now that's a powerful sentence there. Many people don't want to look at the facts because they're afraid if they acknowledge the facts, then they won't be able to have faith. And so many believers live in denial of reality. And rather than live like that, Abraham confronted the facts. And he said, I'm too old. And he looked at his wife and said, she's too old. And yet, that must not matter to God. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Is there anybody in the room who's about 100 years old? Do we have two 50s here? Okay, we do. My grandmother is actually over 100 now. And he faced the fact that Sarah's womb was also dead. And yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith. Now look at the comparison. Without weakening in his faith and strengthened in his faith. He looked at the situation. He saw it clearly. He saw the reality of his situation. And he got stronger in his faith in God. It goes back to this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He was asked this question. The Lord wanted to know, Abraham, what's your answer? Is anything too hard to the Lord? Okay, if you like the person next to you, or even if you don't know them all that well, but you can smile at them, just ask them this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Don't answer the question, but ask the question of that other person. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there, okay, now let's notch it up a little bit. Ask the person next to you, is there anything in your life that's too hard for the Lord? Is there anything in your life that's too hard for the Lord? You see, that's what God asked Abraham and Sarah. Is there anything too hard? Is anything too hard? But Lord, I'm about 100 years old. How can I be a dad? But Lord, my womb is past the age of childbearing. How can I be a mother, Sarah thought. And the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? He was strengthened in his faith. He gave glory to God. And he was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. God has power to do what he has promised. Is it too hard for God? That's the question that Abraham and Sarah were asked, and they answered in their hearts, and they said, God has the power to do what he has promised. Now, some of you sitting here tonight, you haven't actually decided yet what your answer is to this question. And you're not sure, does God have power to do what he has promised? You're not sure, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And one of the reasons you're not sure is because God promised something to you that's impossible for you to do. And you're thinking, it's impossible because it's impossible for me to do. But the question is not, is it impossible for you? The question is it impossible for God to fulfill what he has said to do? Now, some of you here, you have decided God has the power to do what he promises. What you receive from the Lord may well depend on how you answer this question. Paul uses God's faithfulness to Abraham and Sarah to explain to Italian believers in Rome about the reality of the Messiah. He makes a connection. The faith of Abraham is the kind of faith these Romans need to have in Messiah. And he wanted the Romans to connect their hearts to God and God's Messiah and to the Jewish people. Because he knew something, that God's love for the Jewish people was actually connected to his love for the Romans. If the Romans could understand that God was faithful and loved the Jewish people, then they could understand that he loved them too. Paul understood that God's faithfulness to the Jewish people is connected to Messiah and all that Messiah has come to do, including save the whole world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him, what? Would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You see, Paul saw Yeshua in very clear terms. Yeshua is confirming God's promises to Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac and Rebekah, to Jacob and Rachel and Leah, and to the sons and daughters of Rome. Now, you might say, well, why do you think that? I'm just trying to report to you what Paul wrote. We'll look at what Paul says in just a second. But there's a connection, you see, between your faith in God and your understanding of God's faith to the Jewish people and how that works. Paul explained it in Romans 15:8. Romans chapter 15. For I tell you that Messiah has become a servant of the Jewish people on behalf of God's truth. So let's just stop with that part of the sentence and make sure we understand it. Messiah has become a servant of whom? Can I hear you? The Jewish people. Now, who said that? Who says that in this passage? Paul. Not me. I'm just reading it to you. Are you with me? Paul said it. Messiah has become a servant of the Jewish people on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. And when it says the patriarchs, it's using a plural term that includes the matriarchs too. So Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob and Rachel and Leah, yeah. You see, God is faithful to the patriarchs and their wives, or to those men and women of God who are the spiritual mothers and fathers from which the Jewish people proceed. God is faithful. He made promises to Abraham that are still being fulfilled today. They were being fulfilled in the time of Paul. They're being fulfilled now as well. God is still being faithful. Now, smile at the person sitting next to you and just say, God is still being faithful. He's still being faithful to you. Does anybody have an impossible situation? Does anybody have a situation they can't fix on their own? Okay, let's just identify with Abraham and Sarah and say, it's impossible for us. It is impossible for us. Now, let's ask the question, is it impossible for God?
No.
No. Thank you. The daughters of Rome are speaking. One solid daughter, at least, of Italy. For that, we're grateful. It's not impossible for God, even though it's impossible for you. Paul kept thinking this way. Because God gave us Messiah, it means everything he promised to do, he'll do. In the same way that Abraham could say later, because God gave me my son, Isaac, he'll do everything he promised to do. So let me ask you a question. Has God ever promised something to you that you have not yet received? Is anybody still waiting for some things? Okay. Now, has anybody received a promise for God and you've already received the answer to the promise? Anyone here? Okay. Now, what I want you to do is take that promise you have received and imagine it's in your left hand. And take that promise that you have not yet seen fulfilled and imagine it's in your right hand, and then put your hands together and be able to say, Lord, These two promises are equal in you. You're faithful. What you have done already is confirmation of what you're going to do in the future. And so I know, Lord, because you've been faithful to me before, you will be faithful to the end, to the sweet end. It's not a bitter end, to the sweet end. Paul wrote the Corinthians about God's promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I like two different translations that get at this. And one says, "For as many as are the promises of God, in Messiah they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God." So in Messiah, every promise God has made is yes. And when we say amen regarding God's promises, it's to the glory of God. Another translation says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Messiah. And that is why through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." But let's think back to the time when Miriam found out she was pregnant with Yeshua. How do you say Miriam in English? Mary. And for a young woman, engaged but not married, the news that she was pregnant was not at first good news. But it actually was good news. And at the very same time, another Jewish miracle birth was getting ready to take place. It's important to see the thread, my friends, and to see the connection. Sarah is a miracle mother. And she was an old woman. Miriam is a miracle mother, and she is a very young woman. And her relative, whose name is Elizabeth or Elisheva, is another miracle mother. And which is she? Young or old?
Old.
And she's barren. She's never had a child. So she's like Sarah. Right? But she's not particularly wanting to have a child. We don't know. Miriam didn't have in mind, "I think I'll get pregnant by the Holy Spirit." It wasn't her idea. But the covenant that God made with the Jewish people, I want to remind you, is filled with miracle mothers. It's filled with miracle conceptions. It's filled with miracle births. And that's why Yeshua's miraculous birth is not so difficult to accept for Jewish people. Now, I say that knowing that for everyone it's difficult. Even for the mother who miraculously gives birth, it's difficult for her to accept. For Sarah, it was difficult, right? For Elizabeth, it was difficult. For Miriam, it was difficult, and yet they all held on to the reality of God's blessing in their lives. So the idea that Yeshua would be born miraculously, this fits into and connects to the covenant God has made with the Jewish people. Because Sarah gave birth miraculously. Others of the patriarchs' wives had miraculous births too. I don't want to say it's not uncommon or it's not unusual, but it's not unprecedented. It's part of the package. In fact, some people in this room found it hard to conceive, and yet God blessed them. Some of you were hard for your parents to conceive. Is there anybody here who's a miracle baby? I know there are several. Over on this side, we have a couple. You guys just stand up. Three. All of the miracle babies, stand up here. Look at this. People whose parents had to pray in order to get you born. Congratulations. Congratulations to you. Now listen to what the angel said to Miriam. This is in Luke chapter 1, verse 36 through 38. He said, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren." Verse 37. Who can read it to me? "For nothing will be impossible with God." That's the message for us this weekend. It's the message about God's promises. God fulfills His promises. God is able to do absolutely more than you ask, more than you imagine, more than you dare request, more than you think. Nothing will be impossible with God. Miriam's response, like Abraham's and Sarah's, says it all. Look at verse 38. Miriam said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel left. Let it be to me according to your word. If you're waiting on a promise to be fulfilled, I want you to say that with me. Let it be to me according to your word. That is the right attitude. When Miriam heard this news, her first response surely was, "How could this be?" But when the answer came, "This is from the Lord," because nothing that God wants to do is impossible, she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Not how, not why, not "you've got to explain it to me," not "you've got to be kidding." Let it be to me according to your word. Some of you are praying for children, and God has said He's going to do something with your children, and it hasn't happened yet. Let it be to me according to your word. Some of you are praying for spouses. Some of you already have spouses, and that's why you're praying for them. And you're wondering, when is God going to do the next thing to draw you closer together, to bring you higher up? And He's told you what He wants to do, but it hasn't happened yet. And you can say, "Let it be to me according to your word." That's real faith. Real faith is not telling God what to do. Real faith is letting God tell you what He's going to do, and we say, "Amen." Because in Messiah, everything He promises is amen. Some of you, I believe, are ready to receive breakthroughs. God has led you into something new. He's guided you into something new. He's told you about something new. It is impossible for you to do it on your own, but it's not impossible for God. And you can say, "Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Let's pray in that direction. Lord, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your confirmation in Messiah Yeshua. Thank you that in Messiah, every promise you have made is yes, and it's amen, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you that nothing is too difficult for you. And we thank you for the hope that is still in us. Let it be, Lord, that we do not weaken in our faith, but we become stronger in our faith. And that we believe that you have the power to do what you have promised. Let it be to us according to your word. Lord, we tell you this, that as you fulfill these things that you've spoken to us, as you bring them into reality in our lives, we will tell other people of your faithfulness. And we will say, "You have done what you have promised." Lord, let us practice by telling people now the things you have already done in our lives that you've promised, the things you've already fulfilled, that we can express gratitude now and connect ourselves with you and connect other people with you by telling them the good news of your faithfulness. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.